You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of men.
Thank you, praise team. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and thank you so much for your mighty son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you, dear God. For these young people, we want to ask you to bless them, anoint them, fill them with your spirit, and glorify yourself in their lives. We pray you'll protect them. And Father, today, we just want to ask you to meet with us and show us how to be imbued with your spirit and your power in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, go ahead and go greet a few folks. Give them a hug, okay?
Good morning, First Baptist Church of Stuart. How are we doing this morning?
Great.
What I love to hear. All right. So if you would look down at your pamphlets, any of our new guests, if you would just tear off this right here, just write down everything we need to know about you and put it in our offering plate. Thank you very much. So events and announcements for this week and next. So National Day of Prayer is coming up. That is May 7th at the downtown Stuart Gazebo Park. I've sung there the past 2 years, so I would love to sing again, and if you would be there to watch me. Thank you very much. So, VBS volunteer meeting right after. And the senior adult luncheon is coming up Tuesday, May 12th at 12 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. And this dinner, this Wednesday, is chicken salad, dessert, and drink. $7 for adults, $5 for kids. And ladies, we have the garden party at the Fellowship Hall again. $15 for ladies and $10 for girls.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for these youths here, and Lord, we just thank you for their voice. Lord, we just put our hands on all of them, Lord, as they go out as our future, that they would spread the gospel to the nation, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you would bless the offerings today, Lord, the gift and the giver. We just thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. In your name we pray, amen.
So the little lady that turned the money down told me when she was a little girl years ago on the playground, she called me over. She said, Pastor, can I mail with you? And I said, well, I'll have to ask my wife, Kim. She said, tomorrow. and then she said, and I'm someday going to become the pastor. That's what she told me. So praise God for her. Amen. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be looking today at the filling of the Holy Spirit and what the scriptures say about the Spirit of God and how we're to relate to him and how we're to meet him and how we're to allow him to take control of us. If you've got your notes, look inside the Heart publication. There's a copy of the notes, and I'd like for us all to read, maybe you've memorized it, Ephesians 5:18 together on the count of three. One, two, three. be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So here in Scripture, we see that this is in Ephesians, and the Greek language says that this is a commandment from God. It's an imperative in the Greek, and it means that God is commanding us to be filled with His Holy Spirit. Now, the Greek word for filled is pleroma, and it's interesting that that English translation, filled, gives with it the idea that we're going to get more Holy Spirit, like you're a glass or a container, a vessel, and the Holy Spirit is going to be put into your life. And so to be filled, I want more Holy Spirit, more Holy Spirit. And in actuality, the Greek word really means more like control, like a marionette puppet where it's got the strings that make the arms and the head and the legs and the torso move. And so the director of it has full control of it. This is really what the word means. And in the Greek language, it's talking about a present tense. And so it's an indicative of reality in the current. And so it's really, which should probably be translated, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, be being controlled by God's Spirit. Allow God's Spirit to take fresh control of you. I first learned about the filling of the Holy Spirit as a Christian at Liberty University in our Christian life class. Dr. Wimp talked to us about it and shared with us the scriptures and the teaching and the reality of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so after I experienced that, I came home from college, and my younger brother Shan's 10 years younger. At the time, I was 21 and he was 11. And when I came home, he said, "Tell me what you learned at school, Bubba." So we're sitting on one of the bunk beds in our bedroom together at home. And I told him about this, the filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, "I want that. How can I do that?" And I said, "Well, Shan's in the Bible, you know, it's talking about we need to confess our sins. We need to acknowledge them before God. We need to recognize them, be accurate and truthful about them. And by doing that, then we're to ask Him to give us a fresh filling of His Holy Spirit." So I'll never forget what my 11-year-old brother did sitting there on the bed. He said, "Okay, let's pray." And he bowed his head and he said, "Lord, fill my cup, Lord. I've messed it up, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen." And then he started tearing up and started crying. And I said, "Well, Shans, what's wrong?" And he said, "He did it. I feel His presence. You know, He did that." And so the next, not that night, but the next night later, my sister and brother and I were going to go watch the Pearl Harbor movie, Tora, 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 at the Malco in Memphis, a movie theater. And you walk up, you buy your tickets, you stand in line, buy tickets, and then go in. Well, when we pulled up in the car, my brother was sitting in the back seat, my sister and I in the front. Shans reached over and grabbed our shoulders. And he said, "Bubba, are we going to witness?" Because there was a line of about 75 to 100 people standing there in front of the Malco. And he said, "Are we going to witness for Christ?" And I said, "Oh my gosh, Shans, I didn't even really think about that." And that was not my little brother. He's never been an active soul winner. He's actually an anesthesiologist now in Louisville, Kentucky for the last few decades, but never really been an active soul winner or a witness. And I said, "Yes." And I always kept a stack of tracts. So I handed him a stack of gospel tracts, and we got out of the car. I went to the window to buy the tickets, and Shans, I would have started at the back of the line and worked my, now I've got some amplification. So I would start at the back of the line, work my way forward down the line. And Shans, no. Shans went straight to the front of the ticket line. And he started handing those out. "Here, ma'am, read this. It'll change your life. Sir, read this." Going right down the line. And one guy looked down at him and said, "Are you a little Moony, followers of Sun Young Moon, a cult at that time?" And he said, "No, I'm a little Christian. Read this. It'll change your life." And he went on down the line, and I was watching in amazement because that was not my little brother. That was not Shans. That Shans is not like that. He hasn't been like that hardly since. But that was the Spirit of God controlling my little brother and directing him and guiding him. And so I'd like for us to look at a couple of passages this morning relating to the filling of the Holy Spirit. The first one you read with me, Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then if you got your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 9. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 9. And we're going to look at the Lord Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit and the gifting of the Holy Spirit to our lives. And I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Now, suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So in this passage, we see an acrostic, A-S-K, ask. And in it, it's first of all, we're to ask the Heavenly Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, but the way we do that is through our salvation, when we give our hearts and lives to Christ. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But we see that in Scripture, we're to seek this from the Lord. In John chapter 14, verses 14 through 17, Jesus said this, "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may be with you forever." He'll give us the Holy Spirit. And by the way, it does say, once he's given us the Holy Spirit, he will be with us forever, eternal security. That the Spirit of God comes in, and the scriptures and the epistles say he seals us with his Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's not given to you and taken away, given to you and taken away. Once you receive him, then you're into the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "And we were all baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ." This is how you and I become a Christian. This is what it means to be born again, to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, in some circles, charismatic Pentecostal circles, they pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, if you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you got it the day you were saved. And it's also a one-time event. In the Greek language, there's the aorist tense, which means it's punctiliar. It's like a period. It's one time in history, one time each, a one and only, a one-off in each one of our lives. And so in this Corinthians 12:13, we were all baptized by one Spirit is the aorist tense. And it meant we were the day we got saved. That's what it means to be born again. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born of water and the Spirit." That is Spirit baptism, the day you get saved. And this is where the Spirit of God comes over our life. Now, I'm going to use this pen as an example. In our life, here we are, we're born, and then we're children, teenagers, young adults, senior adults, and then where do you go from senior adults? Heaven. But here we are in our life going along. The Holy Spirit brings circumstances in our life to convict us. Maybe when we're a child with godly parents, maybe at a youth camp when we're a teenager, maybe we're in a car accident and God spares our life, or some type of event in our life that goes along. And the Holy Spirit brings these people and circumstances in our life. And each time he's present, he gives us free will where we can accept him or reject him, and we can receive the gift of eternal life. But at one point, let's say this person's going along, godly parents, didn't give their life to Christ, and then they went to the youth camps and all this, youth group, all these other things, didn't give their life to Christ. And then when they become a young adult, maybe they're drafted, maybe they go off to war and they almost get killed. And the Spirit of God convicts their heart and they say, I need to repent. I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to be born again. Well, at that point, the Holy Spirit of God baptizes them and places them in the body of Christ. And that is a one-time event. And that's how you get into the body of Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. And that's how you become a Christian. Now, there's only one baptism of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. But there are multiple fillings. In fact, you can be filled many times a day where God takes fresh control of you over and over again. In fact, we need to pray that way constantly in our lives. I pray that a lot for my grandchildren, children. I pray it for you as members here at First Baptist. I pray for our family. I pray for myself. You know, God give me, in fact, before this message, over the last 2 or 3 weeks in a concentrated way, I've been praying, Lord, give me a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. Take fresh control of my life. Control my thoughts. Control my life and live through me. And so we do this in the scriptures, and we ask the Heavenly Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And secondly, we're to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit, as our command verse tells us, that we're not to be drunk with wine because it's shameful, but we're to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why did he use that analogy? Because actually, sometimes when the Holy Spirit of God just surrounds us, it's intoxicating. I mean, it's amazing. The greatest emotional experiences I've had in my entire life, bar none, have been when I've experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, I was talking to one of our members who's been a member here for years, and they kind of, their words, they said, I backslid, I fell away from church, and I wasn't going to church really anywhere, and back when I was coming, I was tithing, I was witnessing, I was faithful at church, I was worshiping Jesus, and I just fell away. And the Spirit of God began to start talking to me and saying, you need to go back. And according to this testimony, the person said, I came back and one Sunday, and I'm sitting up in the balcony by myself near the back of the balcony, and Jesus came and sat down beside me. Now, when our friend, our member, was telling me this, he started crying when he told me that. Even now, this was current recently. And he said, I sense Jesus next to me. And he said, then when I left church and I went and got in the car and I was riding along, a little later, I sensed him again, and I started crying in the car. That is the Holy Spirit of God, Christ with us, the hope of glory. And we see that in Scripture, he talks about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we see this in the verse half of verse 9 in our passage. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Then we see we're to knock on the door of heaven for access to the Holy Spirit. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It's interesting in Scripture that he makes it kind of a conditional response for us, where, you know, we're to do certain things to make the climate proper for the Holy Spirit of God to take control of us. If you're accommodating sin in your life, bitterness, anger, if you're accommodating those things and harboring those things, those emotions, those feelings, and you're holding them near and dear, you don't have a climate in your life for the filling of the Holy Spirit. He can't do it. He wants to, but he can't do it. In Scripture, it talks about two things relating to the Holy Spirit. The quenching of the Holy Spirit, it says in Thessalonians, don't quench the Spirit of God. That means to put out the fire of God. Now, we've been burning fires at the property to get rid of a lot of the invasive brush and trees and all that sort of stuff. And it's interesting that one of the things our volunteers are doing out there is once the major brush burns off and the big fire is gone and it's starting to go down toward embers, they will roll the logs and roll the debris together and pile it back up, and then it'll reignite. But there's a way to get rid of that. Instead of that, you kick them and roll the pieces of wood away from each other and then douse it with water. And you're going to quench. And God says, our sins, our hatred, our bitterness, our anger, all of these things, our lack of trust, all of these things quench the Spirit of God. They put the fire of God out in our life. When we're doubting, when we're not following, when we're not obeying, it's interesting in our passages that he talks about and obey my commandments as part of the equation to obey him. There's quenching and then there's grieving the Holy Spirit. And we're not to grieve the Spirit of God by which we're sealed. We're not to grieve him. And that's where we do things that are offensive to him. He is holy. Third person of the Trinity, all three in one, have exactly the same value system of holiness. And you and I can grieve him. In other words, you know, offend him, if you will, maybe hurt his feelings, but push him aside in our life. And he said he wants us to welcome him, to acknowledge him. And with that comes the filling of God's Spirit. So we're to ask, we're to seek, we're to knock. And then I'd like for us also to look that if sinful earthly fathers get good gifts, how much more with a heavenly Father? Now, I gave each of the children a dollar going to children's church as an example that even though we're sinful people, we can give good gifts. And I think all of them, well, maybe except for one, but all of them recognized it as a good gift. In fact, there may have been a couple of those kids that weren't going to go to children's church, and they changed their mind. You know, in fact, you know, if we start doing at the front door, we might really increase the crowds. Even a dollar. Hey, it adds up. 52 a year, I can buy a Happy Meal, you know. But so we see that in Scripture, he talks about earthly fathers. Now, suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish, he wouldn't give him a snake, would he? Only if you're a hateful father. Only if you're an angry father. Only if you're an abusive father. And then he goes on and he says, or if he asked for an egg, one of these children, he wouldn't give him a scorpion. And so God's saying, you've got these imperfect fathers on earth, and yet they will give you food. They will give you things. They will take care of you. After my father died, well, actually after my mother died, and I was moving the contents of their house down here for Dad to move in with us, I was going through some of the paperwork, and I found when I was a little boy, I had a you're probably not surprised by this, but I had a checking account. And I would ride the jobs with my dad, pick up Coke bottles, got 2 cents each. And every summer I would bank around $300 to $500 from Coke bottle deposits. So my dad and I were contractual in ways, like if he had a toolbox I wanted, an old rusty toolbox or something, instead of giving it to me, we would negotiate and I'd buy it from him. And so I wrote him these checks as a little boy, you know, out of my checking account, you know, $2, $4, whatever, $3, this or that. Well, when we were going through all their paperwork, I found all of my checks. Dad never cashed any of them. He kept them. And that teared me up, honestly, that he was like that. I mean, he was so loving. And even as a fallen faith, he wasn't perfect. You know, we told him, living with us, you can't do any cussing. So it cut it down a lot, but it didn't completely eliminate it. And some of you men, don't be hypocrites. I've heard some of you cussing. But my dad, a loving, affirming dad, and yet not a perfect dad, a sinful man, saved by grace. He, for his electric company, had a gas pump installed in the backyard, and he would fill the trucks for his crews that would go out, his electric crews. And once I got older, driving age, and in my teenage years, I told my buddies I'd sell them gasoline. But they had to be over at the house right after school and out of there before 4 o'clock, or they couldn't get any gas. Well, we had a long gravel driveway, and one time I had a lot of customers. I had several customers. And so I'm filling them up, and they're paying me, and I got down to like one or two of them left, and Dad came home early. So he drives in his truck, you know, and, son, what the heck do you think you're doing? Well, Dad, I'm selling gas. And so he shooed off the other two boys, and we went inside, and I thought he was going to spank me, or I didn't know what was going to happen. And we went in, and he shocked my shoes off. We sat down at the kitchen counter. He poured me a cup of coffee. He got a cup of coffee, and he looked at me, and he said, now, let me get this straight. You've been selling my gasoline. And I said, yes, sir, I have, at a discount, a little discount. And he said, no wonder I've had to keep filling that tank so much. He said, I thought it was leaking or something. And then he looked at me. I thought I was in such trouble. And he hugged me and he said, son, whatever you do, you're going to be successful. He said, you don't have any cost in the gas. It's all profit for you. He said, you definitely have a mind for business. And I was shocked, but he was so loving and affirming. And our earthly fathers, your earthly fathers, and you can be affirming. By the way, that was before I was a Christian. Just throw that in. But so anyway, he says, your earthly fathers don't give snakes. They don't give scorpions. If they ask for a loaf of bread in one instance, they don't give them a rock. You know, and so he says, if your earthly fathers will do that for you, how much more will I do for you, your perfect Heavenly Father? And then he caps it off by saying, here's what I'll do. And for a lot of us, this doesn't mean anything to you. He says, here's what I'll do. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. There's so many Christians trying to live the Christian life by their flesh, professing Christians. Multiplied millions and millions and millions of them. And God says, I want to place in you the third person of my Trinity. I want to place in you my nature, my character. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of God: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. He says, I will place all of these things in you by my Holy Spirit. And we see that in Scripture, the Holy Spirit indwells us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 19 and 6, chapter 6, 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, whom you have of God, and you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You and I have become a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit the day we were baptized by our Spirit, placed in the body of Christ, the day we got saved. That day we became a temple. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Spirit of God? If you're a real Christian sitting here this morning, a real one, not a professing, not a intentionally phony, but the real thing, then you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, and you're a temple. And you need to think about that. Everything you say, everything you do, everywhere you go, everything you look at, everything you represent, everything in your life, you're subjecting the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why there's grieving. That's why he gets grieved sometimes. He said, I don't like this. He'll warn us in our spirit. We'll become alarmed. We'll get nervous. We'll feel conviction. We'll feel guilty. And the Holy Spirit of God in our temple is saying, don't defile my temple. Don't defile it. The Holy Spirit indwells us. Colossians 1, verse 27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There would be a lot more believers if we were allowing the Holy Spirit to produce his fruit in our life and we were living the personality of Christ to those around us. There would be a lot more believers. We would be a convicting force under the control and the filling of God's Holy Spirit. And then we see that the Holy Spirit empowers us, Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know I share constantly illustrations of witnessing and sharing Christ. I've had people, Christians, criticize that. Yeah, you're just praying a prayer with people. You know, well, what are you doing? I mean, I had a lady years ago, kind of a negative lady, came up and said, I don't like the way you witness. And I said, well, I'm not totally locked on to it. Maybe I'm not fond of it either. How do you witness? And she said she didn't. And I said, well, I like the way I do witness better than the way you don't. When I first came to the church, I had one of the founding patriarch guys of the church take me out to lunch. And he said, well, Pastor, you're evangelistic, but I'm discipleship. I said, oh, okay. People make that dichotomy, but I don't think it's genuine. I was interviewed by a seminary student working on his master's degree this week about discipleship. And so he says, you know, you're for evangelism. You should just get a tent and travel around the country setting it up to win people to Christ. But I am for discipleship. And I said, is that a conviction or a preference? He said, it's a conviction. It's a conviction. And I said, all right, let's peel this onion a little bit. Let's delve into this. Who are you discipling right now? And he said, nobody. And I said, well, who have you discipled this year? He said, well, nobody. Who in our church can you take me to that can say, so-and-so discipled me? And he said, no one. And I said, well, you don't have a conviction. You just have a preference. And I said, so you're talking about me and evangelism. At that time, we were doing continuous witness training from the Southern Baptist Convention. And for 12 weeks, we would meet with people one night a week or one morning a week and memorize scripture, memorize illustrations. And then we would go out for an hour and witness in Martin County. And so I was taking teams of two, and I was doing a morning session and an evening session. So four a week, two in the morning, two at night, for a semester of 12 weeks. And I said, well, here's what I'm doing. I'm meeting with some of our members twice a week, four of them, two and two, and they're memorizing scripture. They're memorizing an outline to share their faith. We're praying together. We're going out witnessing, and then sometimes we have coffee, or occasionally we've even gone and had a meal. And, you know, we're living some life together. We're on mission every week going out, and they're memorizing the Word of God. I would say, how many of you, you don't have to show hands or anything, how many of you would say that's discipleship? Well, of course it is. And so we see in Scripture that he talks about the Holy Spirit empowers us. You shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And he will give us power. Power. Now, the Greek word is dunamis, and it's been drastically overworked that sounds like dynamite. But it's really a different kind of power. It's a pervasive, overwhelming presence of God in a convicting way. One of the reasons I witness is because when you and I share Jesus, we're bringing Jesus into the present. We're bringing his presence to bear with another person. He is there with us. Where two or three gather, there am I in the midst, he says. And he's there, like our friend, our member of church that said, I was sitting in the balcony, and Jesus was sitting right next to me in his spirit, in his presence, and broke my heart. And I love seeing that. I love sharing Christ and seeing people respond to the presence of the Lord Jesus. It is so exciting. And the power of it is incredible. There's been a number of times in my life when I've been witnessing to someone and I didn't know it, and someone else was listening, and then we get to the end of the witness, and the person said, I want to receive Jesus. This has happened several times on the phone with vendors I've been talking to where supervisors are listening and we didn't know it. I was talking to one about getting plane tickets to go to Pakistan on a little short mission trip for Kim and I. And get to the end, and the girl says, yes, Pastor Orman, I want to give my life to Jesus. And then this voice comes in over the phone. I've been listening the whole time. I want to give my life to Jesus too. Can I pray that prayer also? I'm having my teeth cleaned, and the general hygienist wants to give her life to Christ. I didn't know an assistant was sitting near the door back behind me. And when the hygienist said, yes, I want to receive Jesus, the assistant said, me too. The power of God. It's incredible. And if you don't share, you'll never experience it. You'll never experience that. And he says, part of this is intermingled together. You shall be my witnesses. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Following him. And it's exciting. And he gives us power. And then we see, finally, the Holy Spirit illuminates us. And back on the power, the filling of the Holy Spirit, day of Pentecost, Acts 1:8, you're to tarry here in this upper room, and I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive power. I'm going to pour the Holy Spirit out on the day of Pentecost, which he did all over the world. And here, let's look at an example. Just a few days before that, a few evenings before that, Peter denied Christ several times. No, I don't know him. Scripture said he even cussed. So he's like a backslidden deacon, you know. He even cussed some to prove he wasn't one of Jesus' disciples before the cock crowed. And he had done that. He denied Christ in his flesh. I don't know the man. I don't have anything to do with him. And then the Holy Spirit's poured out the day of Pentecost. And Peter stands up in the middle of Jerusalem and preaches like a trumpet. And 2,000 people get saved. It's the same man. What's the difference? The filling of the Holy Spirit. The control of God's Spirit. And so we see the Holy Spirit illuminates us. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, is an interesting verse. And it talks about the Word of God. It talks about each of you. Years ago in the church growth movement, there were two different movements. There was the seeker-driven and the seeker-friendly. The seeker-friendly movement was headed up pretty much by Rick Warren, Saddleback Valley Church in California. And it was saying, let's make the church easy for the lost. Let's make it where when they come in, they can feel comfortable enough to come and get saved. But then there was the seeker-driven. That was Bill Hybels in Willow Creek in Chicago. And Bill Hybels in the Willow Creek Association, seeker-driven, that meant don't do anything that would offend the lost. So if the worship team got up one Sunday at Willow Creek and they were going to sing, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood shall lose all their guilty stains." Then the leadership of that church would have stopped them. Don't sing that. Instead, sing Paul Simon's "Bridge Over Troubled Water." Take a secular song and make it a Christian song. Something that they'll like, something comfort seeker driven for the lost. But what's interesting is that Bill Hybels and them, after years, decades of that, they did a self-study of their congregation. And it was one of the largest churches in the United States. At one point, they were running like 20,000 in worship in multiple services. And when Bill and his group did a self-study of their members, their congregants, the people coming to worship, this is what they said. They said, "We found that our people are not self-feeders. They're not reading the Word of God on their own. They're not studying the Word of God on their own. They're almost biblically illiterate. They don't know basic theology. They don't know basic premises of Scripture. They're not self-feeders." Now, in Scripture, the Holy Spirit, when he takes control of us, he will give a hunger to us for the Word of God. We'll desire to read it. And we'll understand it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. "And as for you," you and you and you and you, all of us, "the anointing which you receive from him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it taught you, you abide in him." So he says here, you don't have a need for anyone to teach you. Now, it's obvious in Scripture that God did plan for there to be teachers. In Ephesians, it says, "And God gave some prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers." And that's what's going on right now. We're teaching. And we have a need for that, but what he's saying is you don't have to have it. The Holy Spirit of God, if you take your Bible and you read your Bible, the Holy Spirit of God will interpret it for you. We're not like the Catholic Church. There's no hierarchy here. In fact, I told my life group last Sunday, we were talking about one issue, and I said, you find some verses that are different than what we're talking about here. You bring me more verses, I'll switch my position. And when we started life group this morning, I had a member share some verses, you know, a couple of different verses for us to discuss. In Scripture, the Holy Spirit of God wants to teach you the Word of God. But let me ask you a question. Can he teach it to you if you're not reading it? Yes or no? No. If you're not reading it, he can't teach it to you. If you're not in it, you know, and we need to be in the Word of God. And so he tells us, you have this anointing that you've received from me, and it remains in you. It abides in you. Meno is the word. It means a continual dwelling, constantly there, the Holy Spirit of God. Before I was born again, I was at Northwest Mississippi Junior College in the athletic dorm. And I grew up in church, and I thought I was a Christian. In my freshman year, at the end of my freshman year is when I actually truly got saved in a basketball gym revival with Adrian Rogers. Well, before that, when I first started going to Northwest Junior College on a basketball scholarship living in the athletic dorm, one day I had seen one of these gospel tracts, This Is Your Life, and it showed the guy, his life being reviewed by God, and when he did bad things, and then it showed it when he got saved, and then he had good things. So I thought, I need something good on my film right now. And so I'm in the dorm, and I get out my King James Bible, and I open it up. I said, the red letters is what Jesus said. So I started reading it, and I read that there was the house that was built on the sand and the house built on the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the wind blew. Great was the fall of the one on the sand, and the one built on the rock stood. And I read that. I thought, this will look good on my film. But then when I read it, I said, this is like engineering or architecture. I don't understand this. And I closed it and I didn't read it anymore. And then that spring I got saved and I couldn't read the Bible enough. And it was just alive and speaking to me. Beloved, every one of us here need the filling of God's Holy Spirit. Every one of us need a continual refilling, recontrol. God, take control again. Take control again. You know, remove these feelings from my life, this anger, this bitterness, this frustration. Remove it from my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And thank you for this youth day. Thank you for the celebration of our young people. And Father, I just want to ask you, please, Almighty God, to speak to hearts this morning in a convicting way. And I pray, Lord, you'll help all of us to exchange our fleshly heart for a spiritual heart. And our fleshly efforts for the dynamic of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you. Please, Almighty God, pour your Spirit out. I want to tell you right now, you cannot ever, ever, ever be filled with God's Holy Spirit if you're not born again. If you haven't first been baptized by a Spirit into the body, you can't get saved, you can't be filled, you can't go to heaven until you yield your heart and life to Christ. And he tells us we're confessing with our mouth, believing with our heart. And I'd like to invite you right now, if God's knocking at your heart's door, to open that door. Ask, seek, knock. If he's knocking, open the door. Let him come in. And I'd like to invite you right now to just say, oh, Lord, please cleanse me, fill me, forgive me. Thank you for dying for me. Take control of me. Live through me. In Jesus' name, Amen. So every Sunday we extend an invitation. We want to give you an opportunity to do business with God this morning, however he's speaking to your heart today. And so we're going to stand and sing, and this is an opportunity for you to obey the promptings of God's Holy Spirit, however he's speaking to your heart today. Let's stand together and sing. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to share with you. Go ahead, Aiden. You can come up. I'd like to share with you. I've had some people recently ask me, they said, Pastor, how do you join First Baptist? And a lot of churches aren't even taking membership anymore. Years ago, I had Bob Coy speak for a men's dinner from Calvary Chapel. They were running thousands. And I said, Bob, how many, we're eating dinner together at the prayer dinner. How many members do you have? And he goes, let me think, seven. I said, seven? He said, yeah, me, my wife, her mom, my kids, you know, one of those deals. And the thing is, in membership, membership is where we don't just say, I go to that church over there. We say, I go to my church. And then also with membership, there's responsibilities and accountability. And the way you join First Baptist Church of Stuart is basically you would respond to an invitation. You bring down the little sheet that tears off. And we accept membership several ways. One, transfer of letter, where you would transfer your letter from a like church, a church of like kind. And that's based on the scriptures where the Apostle Paul sent messengers with letters. And then secondly, by statement. And this is where I've given my heart and life to Christ. I want to join this church, and responding that way. And then thirdly is through baptism. I want to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism to be a part of the church. So in the future, you know, if the Lord's knocking at your heart's door. Now, I've had people, I've knocked on doors witnessing in neighborhoods, and I've had some of them say, yeah, I moved down here from North Carolina, but I hadn't found a church yet, so I'm not a member anywhere. Well, how long have you been down here? 17 years. Well, does it really take that long, you know, to find a church, you know? So anyway, just want to encourage you, and if that's in your heart, because I've had a couple of people ask, just do that. Now, this is Aideen Passmore. Let's give her a hand. Amen. Kids in our school had some of the kids in the choir this morning. And Aideen's got a wonderful praise for us. And then she's going to dismiss us in prayer. Aideen.
Thank you. Good morning. I'll be quick because this is not my comfort zone. But very quickly, my sister works in Iraq, and they were stuck there because of everything going on. And it's been weighing on our whole family. We've been praying really, really hard. And the last few days, she was in an area called Basra, and that's where the Halle Berry oil rigs and everything are, and they were all blown up, and they had a couple of drone strikes, and she's in the medical field. She's not military. But we were all praying.
Slow down a little bit with that accent.
We've just been praying really hard for them to get home safely. And 2 days ago, they left Basra. They got to Baghdad, Baghdad to Turkey, and they arrived safely this morning at home.
Praise so God. We're Amen.
Very grateful. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Very grateful. It's, you don't realize how much things weigh on you until it's not there anymore. And then all of a sudden, you're like, that was really bugging me. So I'm very happy that
praise God.
Safely.
And Amen.
Praise God, because he's the only one that got them there. So let's bow and pray. Father God, thank you so much for the time that we have together here today. Thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed on all of us, our families, our friends. The blessing for being able to live in this country, because it is a wonderful place to be, and we have safety that many don't know. Father, please put a hedge of protection around us for the rest of the week. Keep us all in your path and guide our steps. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church, in our school, and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
The 14th Annual International Christian Film and Music Festival, presented by Unity Media Works, April 28th through May 2nd at the Doubletree by Hilton at SeaWorld in Orlando, Florida. Experience five powerful days celebrating faith, film, and music with some of the most influential voices in the industry, including Rich Peluso, Kevin Sorbo, Bill Duke, Cindy Bond, Beverly Holloway, Tadashi, Dave and Rich Cristiano, and more. Get your tickets today at internationalcff.com.
Experience Resurrection Life.
The kingdom of God is an instrument, and it dictates a time, place, and position within you, which reflects the dominion that God has given you.
No more church as usual. Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Visit us in person at 405 Exoria Avenue in Fort Pierce or online at trbanks.com.